This is a download of Farming Today from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to www.bbc.co.uk. The presenter today, Anna Hill.
Good morning. Could growing biofuels to meet green targets actually damage the environment?
The vast majority of the first generation biofuels are not giving greenhouse gas savings.
So should farmers stop now?
That will not solve the problem that there are millions of cars going on the road every year all around the world. People do want to travel, and we need to find a way, we're just starting on the journey, of finding a way of finding new sustainable fuels.
Animal welfare campaigners say intensive dairy and pig farming should be given the same television treatment as last week's expose of poultry production. Jamie Oliver and Hugh Fernley Whittingstall's programmes sparked a nationwide debate on the way chicken and eggs are produced. British farmers say they have some of the best welfare standards in the world, but Peter Stevenson from Compassion in World Farming told me pigs and dairy cows should be next.
We've got very similar problems with pigs, with dairy cows, and indeed with other parts of the poultry industry, with turkeys and geese. We need to see how pigs are kept, and I've no doubt the public would be similarly shocked. I think there are huge problems for dairy cows, problems like lameness, mastitis, chronic hunger, and digestive disorders. With both pigs and dairy cows, what we now want to do is to hope that television will similarly expose the suffering involved in these industries, and then that consumers will say, yes, we're willing to pay a little bit more so that farm animals, be they chickens, pigs or cows, can be farmed in humane conditions.
We've seen in the past, when people have been concerned about animal welfare, they are for a short time. They might even change what they buy for a short time. In the long term, they go back to possibly to what they were buying before.
I think the real challenge for us is to make sure that the high level of awareness of the suffering involved in modern farming is sustained, that consumers don't just make a change for a week or two, but this becomes a long-term change. We need a commitment for change from three sectors, from us, the consumers, to spend a bit more, from supermarkets to stop competing with each other on their meat and eggs on the basis of low price and instead to commit themselves to delivering good quality, and to paying farmers enough so they can give their animals good welfare. And we need a commitment from government.
The problem is, though, that a lot of people cannot afford these higher prices.
Yeah, but the vast majority of us in the UK and the rest of Western Europe can afford to pay a little bit more for our food, can afford good standards of welfare. Of course, I recognise there's some people for whom every penny counts. But the answer there is not to inflict suffering on millions of animals, but instead we need social policies from government that make sure that everyone can afford food that is nutritious, that's healthy, and that is humane.
Peter Stevenson from Compassion in World Farming, and we'll continue the debate further this week. Do you have an opinion? If so, we'd like to hear from you. Email your comments via the website bbc.co.uk/farmingtoday. Organic farmers meeting government officials today to discuss the latest appearance of bird flu will be pressing ministers to introduce vaccination for all free-range and organic poultry immediately. At the moment, DEFRA's policy is only to use vaccination after the disease has been stamped out through culling. Three swans at Abbotsbury in Dorset were found to have the lethal H5N1 virus this week. Two others tested negative. Richard Sanders from the Organic Research Centre told me why he thinks vaccination is necessary.
Well, of course, free-range and organic poultry, and indeed hobby poultry, what we call sometimes backyard poultry, they tend to live outside. And the accepted situation is at the moment that biosecurity on house birds is better. There is some question about that, but anyway, let's let that pass. Outdoor birds are organic birds, free-range birds. They are more exposed to wild birds. If we've got a situation where the Abbotsbury swanery birds are proven to be infected by wild birds, and there seems to be an analysis that the DIS outbreak last November was wild birds, if wild birds lie at the root of the problem, then we must be given the modern, sensible vaccination route to protect our birds.
The problem is, though, it would cost a lot of money, and farmers would have to pay for it, wouldn't they, directly?
They would have to pay for it, but the alternative is a lot worse, Anna, in that we've seen in last year and before that that government advisers such as Professor David King, when he was the chief scientific advisor, and DEFRA itself, have talked about housing organic birds, housing free-range birds. Well, a free-range bird in a house or an organic bird in a house is neither free-range or organic. And so if we don't pursue a vaccination route, if we see widespread problems developing with H5N1, then the alternative is to wave goodbye to truly free-range and truly organic poultry. We've got this national debate at the moment. We've got Jamie Oliver, Hugh Fernley-Whittingstall, lots of other people saying that conventional house poultry is not acceptable in egg production or indeed in table bird production. And the only way to proceed on free-range or organic birds is to have them outside. And birds in the house are not free-range and they're not organic.
Couldn't individual farmers just arrange to vaccinate their birds anyway?
No, you're not allowed to do that. There has to be permission given by DEFRA, and that has to be also verified by European Union authorities before you can vaccinate. There has to be DEFRA involvement, and this is what we're asking for. DEFRA holds several million doses of H5N1 vaccine. What we're saying now is that this case at the Abbotsbury Swanery is a trigger point, and let's release the vaccine and let's get on with a sensible preventive vaccination program before we're in deep trouble.
Have any other countries taken this course?
Well, they have. In the Netherlands, for example, you can vaccinate your outdoor birds or you can shut them away. You've got that option. And we're saying, well, why can't we have the same sort of policy in this country?
Richard Saunders from the Organic Research Centre. And in a statement, DEFRA told Farming Today, we do not intend to permit the vaccination of birds as an immediate disease control response. A high standard of biosecurity remains the most effective means of protection. Currently available vaccines have disadvantages in that although they are able to reduce mortality, it is possible that some vaccinated birds would still be capable of transmitting the disease. The Royal Society, the independent scientific academy, publishes a report later today which is expected to raise questions about whether setting EU targets to use more fuel made from plants is actually damaging the environment. There's a worldwide boom in biofuels, and here in the UK, cultivation of oilseed rape, which can be turned into diesel, rose by 18% last year. But green campaigners claim that the fertilisers and machinery used to grow biofuels mean that their carbon footprint can actually be worse than ordinary fuel. Meanwhile, the European Environment Commissioner, Stavros Dimas, has told the BBC that Europe should not attempt to reach biofuel targets if that damages the environment. Well, we brought together Andrew Boswell from Biofuel Watch and Peter Kendall, president of the National Farmers Union, to discuss the issue. I asked Mr. Kendall first if we should stop growing biofuels.
We won't end up with today's technology producing biofuels in 10, 20 or 30 years' time. This is going to be the start of a journey. So to say we sit and wait for the perfect solution is something that I'm confident this report won't identify. And what it will do is say we need to set targets, but of course at the same time we need to look at the environmental and other social implications of a biofuels policy.
Andrew Boswell, do you feel that biofuels are a no-no or are they a can-go if it's done properly?
What I feel we need is a proper public policy debate. And I mean, the comment from Stavros Dimas that the EU has failed to foresee the problems.
This is the Environment Commissioner.
This is the EU Environment Commissioner, is exactly why we need that proper public policy debate. And I think it's absolutely crazy when he then goes on to say it's actually better for Europe to miss the target than achieve it in a way which harms the poor or destroys the environment. You have to ask, well, what is the target and why has it been set at that level?
But isn't it sensible for someone to say, well, look, let's do this properly, and if we don't reach the target, then at least we haven't damaged the environment?
Well, the issue is that what's coming out on greenhouse gas emissions is that the vast majority of the first generation biofuels are not giving greenhouse gas savings. And if you look at the nitrous oxides emissions from intensive fertilisers in the European situation, we now have that called into question by a Nobel Prize winner, which means that both the EU targets and the UK target of 2.5% biofuels at the pump this spring needs to be really looked at with a very strong scientific scrutiny.
I think it's been completely transparent in its ambitions. And of course, when Commissioner Dimas makes his comments, he would be assuming that if there's a failure to meet those targets, it would be because second generation don't materialise. But, you know, there are a vast number of new establishments, new installations producing biofuels, and ones that are in construction, that show very real, in excess of 50%, sometimes up to 70%. Some of these are very significant in saving greenhouse gases. So it's absolutely ludicrous to say we do nothing. And I fully understand why Commissioner Dimas says what he has said.
Andrew Boswell, it's counterproductive to have people turning their backs on this sort of technology, isn't it?
No, the trouble is that we're already getting large-scale plants for things like oilseed rape. Oilseed rape is 80% of the EU biodiesel, for example, which Paul Crutzen, Nobel Prize winner, says could be producing 10 to 70% more greenhouse gas emissions than burning ordinary diesel. Now, Peter says we've got to go in a direction of travel, but, already we're getting these big plants which are doing bad biofuels on first generation. And it's all very well to sort of say, wait for second generation, but he knows as well as me that there's very little production, if any, capacity of that, and it's going to be a long way off.
So what do we do instead, then?
Well, what we need to do at the moment is actually have a moratorium on these targets, really look at the science. And
that's going backwards, isn't it?
It's not going backwards. We're going backwards if we create more greenhouse gases. That's taking the planet in a very backward direction. And that's what investing in more oilseed rape plants, more ethanol from wheat and corn and those sort of biofuels we know are not giving the greenhouse gas emission savings we need. That's very backwards.
So, Peter Kendall, we call a halt, start over again.
The Royal Society is putting out a very informed document later on today, which I think one of the things it will do is advocate these targets being maintained, but also making sure we measure and look at any environmental impacts. But also the fact that we have a proper debate. This notion that, and I hear frequently on the press, that all American biofuels production is negative for greenhouse gases. Some of the latest plants that are being built are showing very significant greenhouse gas savings. We are having, I'm afraid, a minority of environmental groups who are just saying all this is bad and we should do nothing. That will not solve the problem that there are millions of cars going on the road every year all around the world. People do want to travel, and we need to find a way, or just starting on the journey, of finding a way of finding new sustainable fuels.
Peter Kendall from the National Farmers Union and Andrew Boswell from Biofuel Watch. And that's all for today. I'm Anna Hill. The producer this morning was Sarah Swadling.